Philippians chapter 4 again. And we are going to be reading verses 10 through 19 tonight in Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to follow along as I read it again here tonight. We were in this passage last night, and we're going to consider again this church in Philippi. And tonight we're going to consider faithful giving and a faithful God. Faithful giving and a faithful God. You follow along as I read. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians, I'm going to ask somebody to read this for me tonight. I forgot my glasses and I'm really having a hard time seeing this here. So I need a volunteer, somebody. Brother, would you read it for me, the rest of these verses? Yeah, I think we were in
verse 15. The Bible says, "Now Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus."
Thank you, brother. Thank you, and please be seated. I want to speak to you again on this subject of faithful giving and a faithful God. I mentioned this last night, but Philippians 4:19 is probably one of the most well-known and favorite quoted verses in all of, quote, Christianity, where the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That is a comforting promise, amen, that the Lord gave through the Apostle Paul. It's inspired scripture that my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that's a promise that God makes to his children, that he will take care of our needs. But most of the time when this verse is claimed, it's really applied and claimed in just about any situation that a person might face where they find themselves lacking in something. "Oh, my God shall supply all your need." And it is a promise that the Lord has given to his people that he will supply our needs. But in its context, its application is very, very specific. Very specific application. And you can't divorce verse 19 from its context in which it was written. And I want us to consider that context tonight. This promise is given to people who had faithfully given and generously given at that to the Apostle Paul and to the need and to the work of missions. This church in Philippi, as we discussed last night, was a church that was impoverished. They weren't wealthy. They didn't have a lot. They weren't well-to-do. And yet they gave to their abilities and even beyond their abilities to the work of missions. And the promise is given to these people who have faithfully and generously given. And that is why Paul says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." If you read this whole chapter, our text here tonight is really something of a thank you note, if you will. Paul wrote to the Philippians who had given so sacrificially to meet his needs, and in it, he gives us one of the most comforting promises in all of the Word of God. If we meet that same condition that the church at Philippi had met, if we give faithfully to the work of the Lord, I believe that same promise can can apply to you and to me. And so, I want to talk about faithful giving tonight. Faithful giving and a faithful God. What is faithful giving? There are many principles regarding giving in the Word of God, many more than what we're going to cover just tonight. But there are four things here in this text that I would like for us to examine regarding faithful giving and a faithful God. So consider with me the principles for faithful giving. The principles for faithful giving. Number one, faithful giving should be one of the very first things that we establish in our Christian life. One of the very first things that we establish in our Christian life. In verse 15, Paul says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Now note that Paul says in the very beginning of the gospel, when the church was planted, Philippi, and then Paul moved on to Thessalonica, it was the church in Philippi that was faithfully giving to meet the Apostle Paul's needs. Paul commends this church by reminding them of how at the very first preaching of the gospel, after he departed from them into the region of Macedonia, they shared with him in the matter of giving and receiving. At that point, they were only the only church that took the initiative to send support to Paul, even when he was still in Macedonia. And when he was at Thessalonica, more than once, they sent to his need. Apparently, the support that the church at Philippi was giving him wasn't enough to provide full support, because he reminds the Thessalonians, when he wrote to them, he reminds the Thessalonians that he had to work with his own hands to provide for the needs that he had when he was with the Thessalonian church. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I want you to see verse 7. "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us." I'm going to ask somebody else to read this too. My print in my Bible is pretty small, and if I don't have my glasses, I have a hard time. I need a man to volunteer to read that. All right, brother, read verses 7 through 9, please. All right, so he says here that we labored. We labored with our hands. He wanted to be an example, but he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, who he went to Thessalonica after Philippi. And so Paul reminded the church in Thessalonica, look, I had to work to provide for my needs. But he said to the church of Philippi, when I was there in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. But right from the start, the point is, from the very start, the Philippians had given faithfully to the work of the Lord. Paul taught them that it was proper for a man who labors in the gospel to receive his support from the gospel. If we have the time, you could look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14 that verify this truth. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verses 17 and 18, Paul is making again the point that those who labor in the gospel should be supported from the gospel. And Paul must have taught this truth to the church at Philippi early on in their existence, and taught the importance of faithfully giving to support the work of the Lord, the ministry, for the gospel's sake. Because it was soon after he left there that they sent unto him for his needs. This church was not very old in the Lord at all, but they were already practicing faithful giving. And the point is that faithful giving should be one of the very first things that we establish in our Christian life. Listen, there ought not to be. It ought not to be this way, but I'm afraid it is many times that there are saints of God who have been saved for X number of years who continually and constantly have a hard time with giving consistently and faithfully to the work of the Lord. Now listen, I'm not talking about tithes here. A tithe is a tenth that belongs to the Lord, okay? God claims that as His own. And if we are not fully, faithfully tithing, according to Malachi chapter 3, we're robbing God. So I'm not talking about tithes. I'm talking about giving above and beyond in tithes and offerings unto the Lord. For a saint of God to be saved for X number of years, and they continually have a problem with tithing, they don't do it faithfully and consistently, you know, there's always something that comes up. How am I going to pay the bills this month if I give this 10% to the Lord? How am I going to put food on the table if I give this to the Lord? I'll make it up next time. I need to make sure that we buy groceries, and I'll make it up to you next time. And this is a consistent pattern in their life. Listen, friend, there's something that's wrong. Not trusting in the Lord. Not being obedient to the command of God. And listen, I was taught this long ago, but praise the Lord, it's a conviction in my heart. I am much better off, and you are much better off with 90% of your income and God's blessing on your life than the whole 100% and God withholding His blessing. That's just speaking of the tithes. But the issue of the heart is when there's this undisciplined or continual lack of faithfulness in giving to the Lord, this is a heart issue that goes back to, do I really trust God or not? Because God has given us all kinds of promises related to faithful giving and the faithfulness of our God to provide and to supply. Paul taught this church early on the necessity and the importance of faithfully giving, and they demonstrated that this was a conviction of theirs, because as soon as Paul left, even in Thessalonica, they're sending once and again unto his necessity. And no church communicated with him as concerning giving and receiving, except for you only. To me, that is a valuable principle, because establishing faithfulness in giving to the Lord early on in our Christian life, listen, it establishes a foundation of faith and trust in my God. Number one, obedience, but then number two, I trust Him. I trust Him that what He said He would do, He will do. And so faithful giving, we're talking about principles for faithful giving. Faithful giving should be one of the very first things that we establish in our Christian life. And let me ask the question by way of application here, why is giving so important? Why is this issue of giving so important? Some people just cross their arms and they get so bent out of shape and, oh, he's talking about money again. This is only the second time I've talked about money to you, so. And I don't know. I just know that these are Bible principles. But why is giving so important? Reason number one is because giving demonstrates my love for the Lord. Giving is a way to demonstrate my love for the Lord. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He what? Gave. He gave His only begotten Son because of His love for this world. God is a giver. God is a God who gives continually and constantly. God is a God who loves to give. He's a gracious God. He gave us physical life. Amen? The Bible says that daily He loadeth us with benefits. God gives to us generously, over and above. God is a giver all the time. He loads us with benefits. More importantly, He gave us His only Son that we might have eternal life. John 3:16 shows us the connection between loving and giving. You can give without loving, but I don't think that you can really love without giving. In a husband-wife relationship, what is the demonstration of your love for your spouse? Love is not a feeling. There are emotions and feelings, certainly, that go along with genuine love, but love's not a feeling. Love is a commitment. Love is a commitment. Love is not, listen, a marriage relationship is not 50-50. A marriage relationship is 100%, 100%. I give for my spouse's well-being, for their benefit, for their excelling in their life. I give of myself. And the ultimate test of our love is giving our very life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. There's no greater love. Listen, giving is important because it is a demonstration of my love for the Lord, for what He gave to me. And if there's a problem in my heart, listen, we talked about last night that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The selfish mentality is, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. We don't have any trouble giving to ourselves because we love ourselves. And mark it down. If there's a problem or an issue with faithfully giving, it's a heart problem related to my love to the Lord. It demonstrates my love for the Lord. Reason number two why giving is so important is because giving draws me closer to the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Listen, real giving draws me closer to the Lord. Where I put my money, where I put my time, where I put my efforts, where my thinking, my life, listen, that's where my heart is going to be. So where do I really want my heart to be? I want it to be close to the Lord. Amen? I would say that if we were to take a show of hands, that everybody in this room would say, yeah, I want my heart to be close to the Lord. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Reason number three why giving is so important. Not only does it demonstrate my love for the Lord, not only does it draw me closer to the Lord, but giving strengthens my faith. Giving strengthens my faith. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Verse 11 says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Listen, giving the way that God gives and the way that He wants us to give goes beyond our budgeting. It goes beyond our planning, and it requires faith and trust in the Lord. It tests whether or not we really believe God's word or not. What did God say regarding the tithes? Bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. And God said, test me, prove me, try me. See if I'm not going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you can't even receive. And then He goes and says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. How often is it where people just feel like, man, I can just never get ahead? You know? It's always something, one right after another, and I think I just get caught up, and then all of a sudden, boom, this thing comes around, and it just knocks me back down into debt again, and so on. I can never get ahead, and then come to find out that they're very sporadic in their giving, very sporadic in their tithing, and there always seems to be something that is devouring the resources. You know, they've got holes in their pockets, as it were. And the Bible says, you know, you got money, it's got wings, and then it flies away. Well, you know what? God said, when you faithfully give and you trust me and you obey, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know what? That car that seems to be on its last leg is an amazing leg. It just keeps going and going and going. I need new tires any moment now. They're going to fall apart. But you know what? They've gotten me through an entire another year. God just has a way of rebuking the devourer, testing our faith, growing us in Him, drawing us closer to Him in the process. And listen, all the way, I can rejoice and I can sing praise to the Lord. God takes care of me and meets my need. Giving demonstrates my love for the Lord. It draws me closer to the Lord. It strengthens my faith. And the more I give, the stronger my faith can become. And this is so because I discover that I can never outgive God. He said, test me, prove me, if I'm not going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I can never outgive God. And the more that I give, the more that He provides, and the more that He gives the ability to keep on giving. I'm telling you, we're not a big church at all. We're maybe 60 to 70 people. But the Lord has blessed. And I'm going to brag on our people here for a minute to the glory of God, okay? Our missions budget is $75,000 to $80,000 a year. 60, maybe 70 people. But they're faithful and they're giving. And we're able to support so many missionaries and see the gospel move forward because of the faithfulness of the giving of the people. We just introduced Faith Promise Missions, actually just this last year. Did a whole series on it. And they embraced it. And our missions budget doubled in 1 year. But you know what? It hasn't even been a full year yet. And we're already 3/4 of the way to meeting our goal. And it hasn't even been, it's only been 6 months. And I'm just thanking the Lord and I'm praising the Lord and I'm saying to the Lord, thank you, Lord. And I'm thankful for the people because their heart is, listen, I love the Lord and I want to prove my love to the Lord. I want my heart to be close to the Lord. I'm going to test God and prove God. And guess what? I figured out I can't outgive God. I'm telling you, we've got some people in our church that when I see what they give to missions, I'm floored. And it blows me away and it brings me under conviction. The Lord wants me to do better. The Lord wants me to trust Him some more and step out by faith and watch Him work. Some of our own people bless my soul and convict my soul all at the same time. And I say, thank you, Lord. It's a blessing. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, shall it be measured to you again. The same kind of heart that you give with, listen, the same kind is coming back. And God has a way of supplying the need, but He gives so that I can keep on giving. Man, what a blessing it is to see God just supply and then to send it out and God supply some more and keep on sending it out. And all the while, I'm blessed beyond measure. Because God is a giving God. Giving strengthens my faith. The fourth reason is that giving, here it is. Giving, why is it so important? Because giving reveals my spiritual maturity. Giving has a way of revealing my spiritual level, my spiritual heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. If you note the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it's in the context of giving. And it's regarding taking up that special offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, man, you abound in everything. You abound in faith. You abound in utterance. You abound in knowledge and in diligence. You abound even in your love to us. But then he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. They were abounding. They weren't lacking spiritually in anything, but apparently they were coming behind and lacking just a little bit in this area of giving. And Paul goes on to say in that context, basically, put your money where your mouth is. They had promised a year ago to give to the need. And Paul comes back and says, hey, I want to remind you that you promised to give. Now see that you follow through. See that you do this. And you better abound in this grace too. It has a way of revealing our spiritual maturity. Ultimately, giving is more about my spiritual maturity than it is about the actual thing I'm giving. Our finances are often the last part of our personal life that we will release to the Lord and trust God in. Have you ever noticed that to be true? Man, that's human nature. Our finance is often the very last thing that we'll let the Lord have control of. We hold on to our money, our wealth, as a form of security. Giving becomes an exercise of learning to trust God. And it reveals to us the truth of our spiritual maturity. Number two, we're talking about principles of giving. The first one is that it ought to be something that is established early on in the Christian life. And we talked about the importance of giving. But secondly, faithful giving should be focused on the furtherance of the gospel. All right? Faithful giving should be focused on the furtherance of the gospel. If you go back to our text in Philippians chapter 4, and you look at verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Paul was preaching the gospel in the beginning of the gospel. And he said to the church at Corinth, we talked about this last night, when your faith is increased, he would be enlarged by them to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. Faithful giving should be focused on the furtherance of the gospel. Here's the tithe that it is already the Lord's. That's off the top. That's His. I'm obedient to the Lord in that. But then there's offerings, giving to missions, and the purpose and the mindset and the focus is, I love the Lord and I want the gospel to move forward because the heart of God, I want that to be my heart too. Paul's focus was on preaching the gospel, not on his needs, not on money. And while he genuinely appreciated the gift from the Philippians, he was more excited about what it actually signified, about their heart for God, that they were burdened just like the Lord was for the lost around them. It represented fruit that was going to be accruing to their account. Verse 17, Paul said that, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He was more excited about what it signified. Not that the needs were necessarily being met. As for Paul, he lived by faith. He was content in whatsoever state he was. He was content that God would provide. He says the very thing in verse 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And then he says in verse 12, I know how both to be abased and I know how to abound. He says, everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Why? Because my trust is in the Lord. I know He'll provide. He lived by faith. You get down to verse 18. And Paul said, but I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You see Paul's mindset. And so let me make an application here, because we're talking about faithful giving should be focused on the furtherance of the gospel. We give our tithes. Those go to the ministries of the church. The church's mission is to preach the gospel to every creature. Then there's faith promise giving that goes directly to the support of those who are preaching the gospel. And so faithful giving will have a focus on the furtherance of the gospel. Faithful giving, number three, is something that it helps us to invest in eternity. Faithful giving is investing in eternity. Paul said in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. What's he talking about? Fruit abounding to their account. Spiritual fruit, laying up treasure in heaven. This is something that is an investment into eternity, not only for myself, but potentially, listen, for the eternal soul that is going to be reached because of what I give. It's an investment in eternity. Paul says, I'm looking for the profit that increases to your account. Those terms were common accounting words, actually. And Paul is saying that when you give to the Lord's work, you're contributing into your account in the bank of heaven. God is keeping track. When we invest in the Lord's work, listen, there's no risk. The stock market is full of risk. There's no guarantee, and we invest in something that is such a risky thing. But when we're investing in the work of the Lord, there's no risk, and there's the highest rate of return. Guaranteed by the very Word of God. By giving to the work of the Lord, we're investing in souls for eternity. We labor together in the work of the Lord in this regard. And God is the one who's keeping track. Number four, faithful giving really should be motivated by my worship unto the Lord. He says in verse 18, he says in the second part, he's received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What should be a motivation for our giving, faithful giving? My worship unto the Lord. This is something that is offered up that is a sweet smell to God. It is a sacrifice that is acceptable, that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Paul calls their giving a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, something pleasing to God. Listen, these terms that Paul is using, they come out of the Old Testament where they describe the sacrifices that worshipers offered up unto God. There are also terms that were used in the New Testament to describe Christ's offering of Himself for our sins. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. The Bible says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." You see this? You see this here? Christ's sacrifice of Himself is considered an odor of a sweet smell, something that is well-pleasing to the Lord. These are powerful terms that the Word of God uses describing worship unto the Lord. And the point is, listen, you're not giving to your pastor. You're not giving to your church. You're not giving to the missionary. You are giving to God Himself. The heart attitude that ought to come with this, Lord, You've done something for me that I could never repay. You bless me beyond all measure. Daily You load me with benefits. You've provided for me in such amazing ways. It is no trouble. In fact, it is a pleasure to give this back to You. You see the heart attitude? Why are people so stingy? Because self says, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Oh Lord, take this. It's not much, but I want You to take it. Or would You multiply it? As only You can do, for Your glory and Your honor, because I love You. And it changes the whole perspective, changes the entire outlook when we have that kind of a heart attitude. That's the attitude that the Philippian church had. The heart attitude that they gave with was something that was well-pleasing to the Lord. When Jesus saw all the Pharisees coming and giving of their abundance, their bags and bags full of money, and He saw that widow give all that she had. Jesus, we talked about this, Jesus said she's given way more than what they ever did, because He saw the heart with which she gave. It's not really about the money. It's about the heart. That's what it's really about. And faithful giving really should be motivated by our worship unto the Lord. And if Jesus Christ were here today, and Jesus Christ bodily walked in to this church, if He was the one who picked up an offering plate, and Pastor Graff stood up here and said, "It's time to take the offering." And Jesus Christ walked down the aisle with the offering plate, and He was standing right next to you. I'd be pulling it all out. I'd be giving Him my keys and my credit card and my driver's license. I'd be giving it all, wouldn't you? If Jesus was standing here today. Oh, but He is. But He is. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. I'm simply saying this. We would think differently than we do now so often if Jesus were standing here. So let me ask you to ask yourself this question. Do I give gratefully out of a heart of love and worship because He gave Himself for me? And so the principles we glean are that we're to give faithfully to the Lord's work of furthering the gospel out of a heart of worship to our Lord who gave Himself for us. And if we do, God is going to do something in return. This is where we get to the second part and the last part of this message. The promise from a faithful God. Faithful giving and a faithful God. Here's where we get to verse 19 of our passage. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Faithful givers can count on the faithfulness of their God to supply. When you give out of a heart of love, you give out of a heart of worship, you give out a heart of faithfulness unto the Lord. And Lord, this is Yours. I want to give it back because You've given me so much. I want You to multiply it. Then God said, "Hey, I'm going to supply all your need." Paul said this, inspired by the Spirit of God, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. "My God shall supply all your need." What a magnificent promise. Amen? What a magnificent promise. The promise from our faithful God. I want you to note under this the source and the certainty of that promise. What is the source? And what is the certainty of that promise? Paul says, "My God." Who is God? He is the all-powerful creator of this universe. God is the self-existent one who has always existed. God is the one who doesn't exist because something else created Him. He spoke a word and the world came into existence. By the works of His fingers and the works of His hands, we look up and we see, man, God is amazing. God is big and God is powerful. He's the one who measures the nations of the world in the dust of the balance, the Bible says. You know, in the old days, they had the scales, right? And they would bring in their grains and they would put them on the scales and they would weigh out what it's worth and they would take it off and there would just be this little fine dust that was on the scale when it was all done. Because the Bible says that God measures the nations like that little fine dust. on the scale. God is the one who measures this universe with the span of His hand, from the tip of His thumb to the tip of His pinky. God is the one who is the source and the certainty of that promise. It doesn't get any more certain than that, my friend. Are you with me? It's God, the God of all power, the very God who spoke this universe into existence, the same God who cannot lie. He is my God, the God I know personally, the God who is my Father, the God who has never in human history ever failed any one of His children, and there's never failed even one promise of all the good promises He's given. The God who proved His great love for me by giving His only Son. That God. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The promise is certain. And God our Father will meet our needs when we trust Him and we faithfully give. We can trust Him with childlike faith. Then consider the sufficiency of that promise. The sufficiency of that promise. The promise to supply all of our needs. Did you catch that? All of our needs, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, this is a staggering promise. God is the one who's the source of it. He's the one who will make it happen. And every single need will ever be met. Why can we not trust Him then? Are you with me here? We're not going to lack. Every need He will supply. And He knows what they are. Sometimes the things that we think we need aren't actually what we need. But God knows what they are. Listen, there's probably no more accurate gauge of our spiritual life than our giving to the Lord's work. There's some questions I want to ask you to ask yourself tonight as we close. All right? So think with me. Just a minute and I'm done. But ask yourself these questions. Number one, do I give only grudgingly and under pressure? Only you know this. The Lord knows it too. Do I give only grudgingly and under pressure? If that's true, listen, then you're not focused on the abundant grace of our Lord in your life. Question number two. Am I hit and miss about giving? Doing it once in a while, but not systematically. Am I hit and miss about giving? Doing it once in a while, but not systematically. If that's true, then it's likely that you're not faithful in other areas of your Christian life as well. Question number three. Am I stingy and tight with my giving? Well, if that's true, then your love for the Lord might be cold. It might be sterile. Question number four. Do I religiously give and then take pride in it? Oh, look how much I give. Well, if that's true, we may be like the Pharisees who were more concerned about the performance of certain duties rather than motivated by a heart of love for God. The reason that giving is a pretty good gauge of our spiritual life is that our heart is directly tied to our treasure. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Man, giving generously, giving faithfully, that's not necessarily a certain amount. But giving generously and giving faithfully requires faith in the Lord and faith in His promise. Faith because you have to trust that when you give, God is going to do what He said He would do. And you know how we please the Lord? By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, people come up with all kinds of things. Questions. Reasons. For not giving. Things like, you know, what if I give and then some unexpected emergency comes up? What if I give and then I lose my job? And so on and so forth. Well, the devil's going to try to distract you and discourage you in any way that he can to keep you from giving glory to God. It really boils down to, am I going to trust the Lord or not? There's a story. Last thing and I'm done. There's a story of a fellow who was struggling with the idea of giving of his income to his church. And he went to the pastor and he told his pastor that, you know, he just didn't see how he could do it and keep up with his bills and so on. And the pastor replied to him, he said, I tell you what, if I promise to make up the difference in your bills if you should fall short, do you think that you could try tithing for just 1 month? The man thought about it for a minute or two, and after thinking about it for a moment, he said, you know what? I think so. If you promise to make up any shortage, I guess I could try tithing for a month. Well, the pastor looked at him sort of funny, and he responded this way. He said, all right, now, what do you think of that? You say that you'd be willing to put your trust in a mere man like myself who possesses so very little materially, but you couldn't trust your Heavenly Father who owns the whole universe? That's the issue at the heart. It's the heart of faithful giving. Do we really trust the living God who gave His Son for us by giving so generously to us? Listen, we should give generously. We should give systematically out of a heart of gratitude, out of a heart of love, out of a heart of worship unto the Lord. And when we do, He's going to meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can trust Him. You're about to take up your faith promise missions for this next year. Is your faith growing? Is your faith increasing? Are you really trusting in the Lord? Have you spent time praying, asking the Lord for what His will is in the matter? Are you really going to step out by faith and say, Lord, I want to trust You. I want to obey You. Lord, lay this on my heart. I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to trust You to supply it. And watch the blessings flow. Watch the hand of God work. Now, we don't give so God will give back to us necessarily. We give out of that heart of love. But watch the hand of God do miracles in your life and in the lives of others. People coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of missions. And it really boils down to, where's my heart? Is it all on the altar? All on the altar of sacrifice lay. My very all, Lord, it's Yours. Because I love You. And I can trust You. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, accomplish Your purpose, Your will in this time. And Lord, I just thank You for Your Word. It's so rich. It's so powerful. Its truth is never ending. Father, we can experience such blessing and joy in our life when we simply say, I'm going to obey God's Word. We're going to step out by faith. Father, faith is something that You have to honor. And You will honor because it glorifies You. It brings much glory to Your name. So Lord, I just pray that You would touch hearts according to Your will. Accomplish Your purpose in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.